Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get to today's podcast. If you could please take 1 minute out of your day to rate and review the podcast, and of course, please subscribe, it would mean a lot. As always, we really appreciate the ongoing support from all of you and the great feedback we are getting. I hope you guys enjoy today's podcast. Cheers. It is a beautiful Monday morning.
Absolutely sensational.
I like him. He's aggressive. He gets in there.
But I do have one more point about Liverpool, though.
Honestly.
Absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Plazenac. Oh, geez.
An absolute beautiful goal.
Welcome to the Trademate Sports Podcast. We are back. We've actually been put on air for another week. George Gamble, the card betting guru, is with us, along with Jonas Jelstad, pro sports bettor. But as he likes to be referred to as, most importantly, the Trademate Sports co-founder. We've got them back for another week for an EPL betting preview. Games this week kicking off on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And then we've got the FA Cup on the weekend. George, mate, are you there?
I certainly am. Thank you very much for having me back. Obviously enjoyed being on last week. It was good fun. So yeah, looking forward to coming back and tackling the week's fixtures ahead.
Mate, you were my best on ground last week, so it's great to have you back. Jonas, mate, better performance this week, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's important not to set the bar too high. I mean, you guys both have experience with being on the podcast, so take some time to step up to meet your levels.
Yeah, I guess you're more used to those YouTube videos, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we all know how many takes those take, so...
Oh, there he goes. Look at that, early shot. I hope you've got a Gucci headband to give away, mate.
Well, let's see if we have an entries.
Well, mate, we've got a lot of entries, I have to say, and we'll be giving away that Gucci headband at the end of the podcast. And one notable entry, alan.maxim@hotmail.com. That was very interesting.
Oh.
He wants a backup, so... might be sending one off to Newcastle, but we'll see who gets that at the end of the podcast. It's it's very interesting stuff. And I saw that he was still wearing a Gucci headband on the weekend.
Yeah, he were, but he had to cover up the Gucci logo.
You can never have too many Gucci headbands, apparently.
Can I ask the answer that everyone wants to know the answer to? The question that everyone wants to know the answer to, that's probably better. How on earth is that thing worth £180?
It's Gucci, man.
It's outrageous. Can you imagine the margin on that?
Pretty good.
Probably.
But that didn't... there was the CEO of... I don't know what the company is called even. The French company, the guy was married to Salma Hayek. He just went out and said, when you say they sell luxury goods, you can also take luxury margins. So, goes hand in hand.
Sounds like the soft bookies, mate. all right, fellas, we'll kick on. Football quiz question of the week. We had our winner last week was George, so pick up your game this week, Jonas. Mate, fun stat from the weekend, or at least from Wednesday to Sunday, there were 23 goals scored in the EPL. How many of them were scored in the second half? And I'll give you another multiple choice. Was it 14, 16, 18, or 20 goals? So stew over those ones. Very, very interesting. That was one of the things that I picked up over the weekend myself. Did you guys have any big takeaways yourself?
What, from the Premier League? Well, I mean, I was, obviously, as you know, we'll go over it shortly, but a couple of my picks. I mean, I didn't go big on anything in the Premier League because it was kind of the first sort of proper time back. You wanted to kind of see how things would pan out. So my focus was more towards other leagues that have been back a bit longer. But yeah, I mean, the only thing that annoyed me was particularly the Villa-Sheffield United game. The stats look so strong on that, I couldn't not have a go. But it just kind of shows how unpredictable it is in that, you know, Villa, the most fouled side in the league. I think I had them to get 14 free kicks in the game. Or no, 15 free kicks in the game. They finished half-time with 11. So, brilliant. Only need four more. That's that done. Then they got three the second half. Like, it was just ridiculous, like, in terms of how unpredictable it was. And obviously, we had the whole matter with, you know, goal line tech and all that. But, yeah, from the first kind of rounds of the Premier League in this kind of, since it's obviously come back, I'd say it's even more unpredictable, personally, having a look at it, some of the things that have been happening. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if things, you know, settle in, you know, the more games, that once we're kind of back into it with more games under our belts, kind of seeing if things sort of get back to normal. But yeah, at the moment, it's even more unpredictable, in my opinion, from a Cards perspective. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I noticed was the quiz question. Like I said, the amount of goals that happened in the last, you know, 20, 30 minutes of the game. I guess if you put all your money on more goals in the second half, you'd be a rich man coming into this weekend. Jonas, did you see anything?
Anything what I saw is basically the away teams were heavily favored and are more favored than per usual, as we discussed. Home advantage not being that big, and you could also see that kind of odds movement when the game started kicking off. So yeah, we'll get more into that later, I guess, when you look into the picks. But I saw also like the trend of the away teams dropping in odds once the game started going in play.
Yeah. All right, well, that unpredictableness was highlighted in some of our results from your best bets of the weekend, fellas. I hate to say it, both of you didn't perform the greatest.
I mean, I said Newcastle
first week back.
Newcastle's gonna win to clean, no, win to zero, so I should have said that instead, win to nil. But I didn't expect them to score three goals because I didn't expect... well, first of all, if you saw Saint-Maxime's goal, that was a joke. Like, even us could do a better job than that defender.
Yeah.
With their feet tied up, even. So,
Yeah, fair point. I think Newcastle did well to score when they got Joe Linton up front. To be honest, his first effort on goal, I've seen better in Sunday League when they've been asleep for 2 hours after being out on the town. That was... horrendous, but obviously got on the score sheet. But my word, 40 million.
We should have a striker off between him and Dominic Solanke because he is absolutely horrible. Also.
Oh, yeah.
He's and he, I think it was like 25 million from Liverpool, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think that was about right.
Oh, that's some money spent for absolutely nothing. That's just about as much as we spent on David Luiz to get a. Two yellow cards, a yellow card and a red card. Anyway, fellas, we don't want to talk about Arsenal. Other than that, in terms of our picks, Marius did get his pick right, under 4.5. He didn't go too big on that one, 1.4 in odds, but he got that one on Leipzig and Dusseldorf. And I tell you what, fellas, I'm giving myself man of the match in terms of picks on the weekend. So I said... bet on the West Tigers at 2.25 on Betway. They shortened in to 1.6 or 1.5 come kickoff. I mean, talk about finding some value. And I said maybe get on -9.5, and they won by 16, I think. So, oh, I tell you what.
Well done, that man. Well done, that man.
Who is that man? It's incredible stuff. But, yeah, just shows...
Go on.
I was just say it shows the power of the punter, but yeah, go ahead.
Certainly
mate.
Does. No, I was going to say in terms of some stats, obviously from that the Leicester game, because I think I went with Leicester to score two, five or more Leicester corners, and Watford two cards. I mean, what was quite interesting is, you know, Watford committed 15 fouls that game, more than obviously more than Leicester, but Watford didn't receive a single card, which is quite mad. I think Craig Pawson was the referee for that one. He was quite lenient because there was a few that he let get away. You know, for example, Troy Deeney committed three fouls himself. You know, there's some of those fouls that, you know, were probably card worthy. But, you know, Leicester obviously got seven corners as well. And the one that stood out for me was the fact that Leicester had 15 shots, but they only got two on target, which is kind of, is that rustiness or is that, you know, the strikers not being quite with it in terms of, or just something not working within the team? I mean, you can't say anything because it's the first game back, but I thought that was quite interesting, you know, to have that many shots and only seem to get two on target. And obviously, you know, Ben Chilwell's goal was absolutely phenomenal. So that was obviously one of the shots on target. You're not stopping that. No,
I was gonna say,
no
mate,
keeper
that
is
one
stopping
was
that.
Certainly on target.
The thing is, because I had a training myself obviously at the weekend, so I watched up to about 60, 70 minutes and had to go. Obviously, no action in that time slot whatsoever, and I missed all the good parts. But yeah, hell of a goal.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was very, very good. All right, well, we might as well kick off there, fellas. Leicester are playing Brighton tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and also Spurs versus West Ham. I had a quick look at the odds before. I think there's I don't know. I think there's a bit of value in Leicester at 1.7 personally, just because, just from watching Brighton on the weekend and their form before that, before COVID-19 happened. Brighton were bloody ordinary against Arsenal, and I'm telling you, because Arsenal are just about the worst performance I've ever seen from them, and they still really struggled to break Arsenal down. So, what do you reckon?
Well, for me, kind of looking at some of the stats going into it, both cards and goals, that sort of thing. When Brighton have gone away to teams in the top five this season, they've conceded 2 goals in 4 out of 4. So they concede on the road to those top teams. You know, Leicester have scored in 8 out of 8 games at home to teams in the bottom half as well. I think that game against Watford, you know, it was an away game. I think it settled them in nicely. I think they'll get the job done here against Brighton. Obviously, had a great win against Arsenal, but might have taken a lot out of them, both physically and mentally. So for a bet here for, you know, Leicester to score 2 goals and win the game, his odds on Bet365 at least is 11 to 10, so just over evens. And considering how many times that's happened in both obviously their respective games, I think there's value there to be honest.
Jonas?
Yeah, so even though Brighton turned it around and won against Arsenal, I saw the odds were dropping on Arsenal when it went in play. I had a little bet on Arsenal draw no bet at 1.7, and I saw they were as low as 1.5 on the Asian bookies during in play. So for those reasons, I didn't watch the game, but I assume Brighton performed quite poorly due to those odds changes. Leicester, on the other hand, yeah, they seem to be playing well, but just based on the odds movements throughout the game. And for those reasons, I'm going to go with Leicester just straight up minus 1.5 at 172.
Yeah, I think the price for Leicester is quite juicy. And like I said, Brighton, they're not, from what I saw, they should have beaten Arsenal by many, many goals. So anyway, that just shows how good Arsenal are. Anything for Spurs versus West Ham, fellas?
Well, looking at it again, I've actually got a few interesting facts for this one as well. But yeah, it's always an interesting fixture, Spurs-West Ham. It's always quite a fiery affair. When Spurs have played against teams at home who are in the bottom half, they've seen 2+ cards in 5 out of 8. Whilst the opposition's also seen 2+ in 6 out of 8 of those games. But they've also scored and conceded in 7 out of those games as well. So judging from the Spurs side, you'd potentially expect some goals. But West Ham have conceded in 7 out of 8 games away to teams in the top half. So obviously the edge you would think would be with Spurs. They're the better side, obviously higher up in the table. But interestingly, in terms of these facts, there's a few facts to this one. So the away side, in this fixture between Spurs and West Ham, the away side has won on 6 out of the last 7 occasions, which is obviously some feat. But Spurs are obviously looking to complete a double over West Ham for the first time since 2012-2013 season. And that was when Andre Villas-Boas is in charge. So West Ham have got a fairly good record in this fixture. But I guess a sort of short question, a mini quiz question for you. West Ham won away last season against Spurs, but they've not won back-to-back away against Spurs since 1966. Do you know who the manager was then? Any chance?
I wasn't even alive. My old man was about 2 years old, so what chance am I?
Oh, blimey. Yeah, mine was a little older than that. No, to be fair, I didn't think any of you would get it, but it's Ron Greenwood. But it shows how long it's been since West Ham have done the double, won away, you know, twice, obviously, at Spurs. I mean, so it's going to be an interesting fixture. I personally think it's going to be quite a tight affair, watching Spurs against Man United. They looked okay in stages, but overall, United kind of dominated it, I'd say. West Ham have been quite poor, but it's difficult to tell who's going to win with this one. But if I had to, I think I'd go for Spurs to break the mould a bit, and I think they'd get the win here.
Yeah. Anything else for that one, Jonas?
Well, I go on the other side. I'm on a West Ham plus 1 at 1.7. So if they lose with 1 goal, get my money back. I don't think Tottenham is very likely to win with 2 goals or more. Judging from the way they played Manchester United, very passive, just going for counters. And Kane, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he didn't seem fit at all. I was impressed by that. Is it Dutch?
Bergwijn, is it?
Yeah, he seemed really good. Mm. And Son seemed fresh, but, you know, I just wasn't really impressed with Spurs at all. And I think West Ham can easily get a draw or not yeah a draw. I think they're more likely to get away with a draw or a win than losing with two goals. So I go for the plus one.
Yeah, so Tottenham is sitting at 1.7 and the draw is at 4.06 and West Ham to win 5.03. So yeah, some decent odds there. What about Wednesday, fellas? We've got a decent game day there. We've got Norwich versus Everton, Wolves versus Bournemouth, Newcastle, Aston Villa, Manchester United, Sheffield United, and Liverpool versus Palace. Some of the big things that I noticed was the massive odds here for Sheffield United and Palace. So Sheffield United to beat Manchester United at 9.47. I believe that's with Pinnacle. And Palace to beat Liverpool at 15 in odds, which, I mean, I'm not saying that either of these two teams are going to win, but I thought that they were massive, massive prices. Jonas, what are you seeing on this day, mate? Anything exciting?
Exciting. I think Manchester United played pretty good against Tottenham. I think they're going to have a far easier job against Sheffield United. They got a bit of match fit now. They played a bit together. I think they're going in with, what can I say, positive atmosphere going into this game. I think they're going to really try to show what they're made of and secure that Champions League spot. So my pick for that game has been Manchester United minus one, which was priced at 176 when I bet it.
Okay. George?
The games that I've sort of chosen to have a look at, I mean, personally, in terms of cards, I'll be leaving alone Liverpool, Palace and United, Sheffield United. I just think, particularly in Liverpool games, there's never many cards in Liverpool games, usually because Liverpool have dominated possession. The way they pass it, players don't get near them for those kind of fouls. So there's not often a lot of cards there. It varies, so I'm leaving that one well alone. I think in terms of result, Liverpool will get the job done there. It's similar with Man United and Sheffield United. You know, Sheffield United, they're so consistent with getting cards away from home. But obviously, it didn't happen against Villa, but it happened against, obviously, Newcastle. And I actually thought Sheffield United looked pretty much in control of that game up until the red card. You know, Newcastle had their moments, but Sheffield United controlled it really well. But after the red card, it just kind of went to pieces. So the games I've sort of chosen to have a look at, in particular, is the Newcastle against Aston Villa game. Because it is a big game. Villa are fighting for their lives at the moment. Newcastle coming off the back of that win are going to want to progress and push up the table, so I think there's a lot of motivation here for both sides. In all of the Newcastle's games at home to teams in the bottom half, they've seen two or more cards on 6 out of 7 occasions. In that time, the opposition have seen 2+ in 4 out of 7. Meanwhile, Villa, away to other teams in the bottom half, you know, they've seen 2+ in 4 out of 5. Obviously, they get a lot of free kicks thanks to Jack Grealish. So, but it's worth noting as well, this Chris Kavanagh, I believe, is in charge of this game in terms of reffing it. And in both the games that Kavanagh has reffed Aston Villa this season, their opponent has seen 2 cards. So, and the way Villa play with Jack Grealish as well, the desperation, I think they're going to go for it. So I do think Newcastle will pick up a couple of cards in this game. But, you know, Villa have conceded in every single game away to sides in the bottom half. So I'd say I wouldn't go for a result in this one, but I'd have Newcastle to score alongside picking up a couple of cards as well.
Well, you like that one, Jonas.
I like it, but
Maxim to get on the score sheet again?
Well, I don't really know. My gut is telling me that, you know, Newcastle overperformed, Villa lost. For those reasons, the market also might go in Newcastle's favour and undervalue Newcastle. But I don't really know. I don't have a strong feeling either way, so I'm just going to leave this game.
All right. And any other picks, George, for that match day on Wednesday?
I looked at Wolves against Bournemouth as well. They're sort of looking at, you know, Bournemouth picking up a couple of cards I quite fancy because, you know, Wolves, great side. They've been playing absolutely brilliant this season. They look like they're sort of picking up where they left off. And, you know, for example, I think it was the Neto goal, just phenomenal. You know, they tired them out and obviously got the win in the end. And as well as that, the opposition, when they've played teams in the bottom half, you know, the opposition's seen 2 or more cards on 7 out of 8 occasions. Bournemouth have seen 2+ in 6 out of 7 away games to teams in the top half. And they've also conceded 2 or more goals in 2 out of 3 games away to the top 6. So for this one, if I was to pick, I'd say Bournemouth to pick up a couple of cards and Wolves to score 2 or more goals.
Yeah, you mentioned the Wolves run of form at the moment. That race for fifth spot, if Manchester City end up getting a ban, mate, that that race for fifth spot. Wolves, we're not, Sheffield United.
We're not getting a ban. It's not happening. It's not happening.
Well, they've already been to court, haven't they?
Yeah, we get the result in July. So it's a funny one because both sides say no, that they're done for. They're done for. They're both saying the same thing, that they're both fine. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, you're right though. If obviously that does come into play, then obviously big opportunity for Wolves.
Yeah, Manchester United. Who else is there going for it? Wolves, Sheffield United. It's one hell of a race for fifth spot. But we'll see what happens there. Now that Arsenal have basically got no chance, I am hoping that Manchester City, just, you know, they don't get suspended at all, so I can laugh at Manchester United when they don't get a place. That'd be good.
We'll be fine.
Yeah. To top it up, to end that day, Norwich against Everton. Everton performed sort of well. They didn't like concede against Liverpool. Liverpool being a strong defensive team, obviously. I think they're going to have a much easier job against Norwich. The odds on Norwich just increased before they let in a goal. And for those reasons, I think Everton is going to dominate that game also. And I bet Everton minus a half at 196.
Yeah, I'm seeing, I don't know, maybe I'll refresh my page, but I'm seeing Everton at 1.97. I'm not sure what, I'm just on Odds Portal here, so I'm not sure what exact bookmaker that is, but you would say 1.97 just to win. That's pretty decent value there, right, Jonas?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I think with that one though, obviously Everton, it was a hard game for them. They had to, you know, had to work for that draw, and you know, if they're going to be playing on, you know, a few days rest as opposed to Norwich, who haven't had to play, potentially that's what reflected in the odds. I'm not sure. I mean, overall, you'd say Everton have got far much more quality than Norwich, but maybe the rest will be a factor. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a weird time at the moment. And also squad rotations too. I feel like, you know, the third game back for some teams, or two games back now, midweek, we might be seeing some resting for these midweek matches. All right, Thursday, fellas, Southampton versus the mighty Arsenal, Burnley versus Watford, and the feature match, Chelsea versus Man City. I've just noted here, Manchester City, I don't know if this has gone or not, this price, but 192 at Marathon Bet, I thought was quite a decent price for City. Although I've just remembered that they do have the game tonight on Monday, so it's a three-day turnaround, so that might be why. George, mate, I'll start with you. Anything for Thursday?
Yeah, so I do what I can to avoid betting on Man City, because obviously they're my team, and I don't like doing it, because just try and avoid that emotion over kind of common sense, as it were. But even if I was, I don't think from a car's perspective this game would kind of entice me in at all. I think naturally I'm going to say Man City are going to win, but I generally think because of the way they play, you know, we fared quite well against Chelsea recent years. I think they beat us in the reverse fixture. But again, it's a tough one. You've got to look at the motivation for both sides. Obviously, Chelsea wanted to, you know, cement obviously where they are. The league's gone for City. So again, because of all these variables, it's one that I would leave alone. The ones that's kind of interested me are the other two. So you've obviously got Southampton, Arsenal, Burnley, Watford. I actually think, if you're going to hate me for saying it, but I think I'm more likely to favour Southampton.
Before you say it, mate. Before you say it, I agree.
Yeah, I think just the way that, you know, Southampton obviously dispatched, was it? I'm trying to remember who they're playing now. This weekend.
Norwich. That's, I think, 3-0 they beat.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. You know, Norwich started brilliantly. Like, absolutely pressed Southampton back. They couldn't get out. But in the end, Southampton dominated and dispatched them well. And I just think Arsenal are going to struggle. Because as well as that, Arsenal haven't won away in 2020. They've not won away in the league. I know they're not top six, but another interesting bit about Arsenal is, you know, they've not beaten a top six side away for 5 years, which is just for a top
last
a club.
Last time was Manchester City, mate.
Yeah, it was. Long time ago now.
very, very.
But yeah, so obviously Southampton playing teams in the top half at home have picked up two cards in 5 out of 6. They've also scored in 5 out of 6 as well. And when Arsenal have got, you know, Arsenal have conceded in 5 out of 8 games away to sides in the bottom half. And in those games, Arsenal's opposition has seen two cards in 6 out of 8 appearances. So, and I think with this one, you know, Arsenal, they need to do whatever they can to get wins. I don't think they're going to win here, but I think they'll give all they can and cause Southampton some problems. So just looking at the stats, if I was to have a bet on it, I'd personally think, depending on who the ref is as well, Southampton to maybe pick up a couple of cards, but I also think Southampton will score. So that would probably be, I'd have a look at the odds and who the ref is on that, but I think so far, as a base to sort of work from, that would be my pick for that one. I also had a look at Burnley-Watford. For me, it was kind of one of those things, because they're very, in terms of cards, both sides are very inconsistent with cards. But, you know, Watford, they're pretty much top of the discipline table. But, you know, they do see a lot of cards at home. Away, they've seen 2+ in 5 out of 7 games away to teams in the bottom half. But then with Burnley, the kind of the way they sort of play football, the opposition has only seen cards in 3 out of 7 games when they've been playing at home to teams in the bottom half. So there's a lot of stats that kind of don't necessarily work. So I wouldn't necessarily want to have a go. The only thing that's sort of concrete, I'd say, is potentially for Burnley to score. And I think Burnley would have the edge over Watford in terms of result. But again, so I think my only bet on that match day would potentially be on the Southampton-Arsenal game.
Yeah, no, I with Arsenal, mate, from what I saw on the weekend, from what I saw against Manchester City, I haven't seen them look that directionless in attack in a long, long time. Their midfield is just, it's sad to think how much of an effect the injury of Xhaka had on us, because although he's not the greatest player, he actually offers just a lot of stability in the midfield. So having Guendouzi and Ceballos there at the moment, they're just two very inconsistent players, and just they don't create that much going forward. So I wouldn't put my money on anything to do with Arsenal scoring any kind of goals, because I said to myself while we were playing Brighton, I was like, the only way we're going to score a goal is if something freakish happens from Aubameyang or Pepe, and that's exactly what happened. So I wouldn't go anywhere near Arsenal at the moment, because the injuries that they've had and the people that have been injured heavily influence the way they score goals.
Yeah.
Jonas, mate, Thursday, you got anything for us?
Yeah, I have two bets on Thursday. One being Southampton draw no bet at 194, and the other one being Watford draw no bet at 188.
Yeah, okay. I'll agree with those Arsenal bets any day, fellas. What else you got, Jonas?
No, I'm just saying it's going to be... It's hard to say, though, about Burnley. Haven't seen them play. Obviously, they will have a shorter rest rather than Watford. Could have some difficulties. I thought Southampton played well against Norwich. Arsenal, not been impressed at all. Got a couple of injuries. Yeah, and this is their third game, so I think that should be one more than Southampton, if I'm correct.
Sorry, what was that?
Southampton, this is going to be the second game Southampton played, right?
Correct, yes. And they've had a decent turnaround too, Friday to Thursday, that would be, yeah.
Yeah. So, for those reasons, I'll go with Southampton draw no bet and Watford draw no bet.
Yep, I'm very happy I won't be watching that Southampton-Arsenal game. I will be out drinking, and get this, I'll be out doing some karaoke, fellas, so you'll probably hear me all the way from Oslo. How about that?
Oh, blimey. What's the go-to song?
Robbie Williams, mate. Easy. Oh. Rock DJ or
classic.
Or Better Man. Better Man's a good one, too.
Good kid.
No sex stop?
Ooh, if my girlfriend's lucky, mate, if my girlfriend's lucky. Sorry.
Good.
All right, let's fast forward. We've got the FA Cup on the weekend. We've got four games there. Norwich Man United, Sheffield United versus Arsenal, Leicester City Chelsea, and the mighty Newcastle against the Manchester Citizens. Fellas, that's a nerve-wracking battle for you, George. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, but in that one, obviously, our games away at Newcastle, more often than not, have had quite a lot attached to them in terms of, you know, what they mean, obviously, to get the win. Obviously, in the years gone by, Yaya Toure braced to help us on our way to our title, which was obviously very good. But I personally, in terms of cards, I don't touch FA Cup weekends, just because you don't know what the lineups are going to be, you don't know what's going to happen, and so I prefer to avoid it and sort of watch with some interest. But I like to have a dabble on kind of the results or double chances and handicaps as well every now and then. I'm sorry to say, I'm going to say it again, but I think Sheffield are potentially going to pile the misery on even further. At least getting a draw out of that one, because, you know, Arsenal's motivation is they need to do better in the league. Simple as that. That's going to be their main thing. They've fared very well in the FA Cup over the past, obviously, how many years? done very well. That's kind of been their sort of saving grace, particularly for Wenger, winning it on a number of occasions. I'd say the edge is probably with Sheffield here, though, if you know, Arteta decides to obviously rotate it.
The thing is, mate, is that if they can win the FA Cup, which I know is highly unlikely, they get into the Europa League. So that's basically their last chance of European football. So, and Sheffield United are chasing that fifth spot, so they could potentially also rotate their squad, whereas Arsenal, I don't know, if I was them, I don't know. You've still got to put some effort into the Premier League, but maybe... But the problem is, we don't have many players, lots of injuries, so we're probably going to play the exact same squad. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Sheffield United get the cookies there. Jonas, mate, what do you think?
No, I agree with what you're saying. Like, Arsenal now starting to thin out their squad. Kind of got to pick their battles. So if they're going to focus on FA Cup or Premier League, I see reasons for focusing on the FA Cup, but also finishing in the bottom half would be a total disaster for Arsenal. So hard to predict. And also with all these games, there's got to be matches to be played prior to this, so there could be even more injuries. And looking at the statistics from Germany and Premier League this far, I think there's been a big increase in injuries. So very, very hard to predict how this is going to go and what are they going to be able to line up with. I mean, City being over 2 goals favorites against Newcastle, I feel that's hard. That's high for somebody who was also, it is City and it is Newcastle, and it's two very unpredictable teams. I can see it go either way, but I kind of like betting the underdogs in these kind of games. So my bet will then be biased at Newcastle +2 at 205. But I mean, it's no real limits up yet. Like, I'm watching at the Pinnacle lines now, you can bet like €200. So who knows?
Yeah, no, we might we'll stray away too much from the FA Cup, just because, you know, it is, there's so much to happen before then. Not only is it, you know, by the time this comes out, 4 or 5 days away, it's there's so many games to be played beforehand. So we'll probably find more value, fellas, in the, or at least more picks in the other leagues. So obviously Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga, Championship, all back on now. George, mate, anything else or anything from these leagues at all?
Yeah, well, I've been doing obviously quite fairly well on the Bundesliga since the restart, but I've got a couple of fancies for the midweek games, actually, particularly in Serie A. So the first one coming from Genoa versus Parma at home. You know, I mean, Parma, they're in the top half, but I don't think they deserve necessarily to be there in terms of, you know, what the stats say. You know, their first game back, they went away to bottom half Torino and drew 1-1, but Torino had 20 odd shots, including 8 on target, and Parma just looked completely out of sorts. But what interested me is the referee is, I have to forgive my pronunciation, but Piero Giacomelli. There you go. I'm fluent. But no, so he's awarded 6 penalties in the 11 games that he's refereed this season, including games that Genoa featured in as well. And I think, given the fact that, you know, Parma concede more shots than any other team when playing away, and Genoa always foul players in dangerous areas, I think a penalty to be awarded, it's great value, because, you know, 6 out of 11, that implies around a 55% of the time. But Bet365 are currently offering a penalty to be awarded at 2-1, which is around, you know, 33.3% implied probability. So I definitely think there's value there. But as well as that, in terms of kind of going through, I won't go through all of the stats again, but from what I found in looking at those stats, the assessment I've made is, you know, a Genoa first half card, both teams to receive 2 cards, and potentially Parma to score is a good shout as well. And again, from Serie A is Spal against Cagliari as well. So kind of going through that, you know, Rosario Abiso is in charge of this one. He's the referee, and he's got an average of 5.3 cards per game. So he's very quick to hand those cards out. You know, both teams have seen a number, you know, pretty much, I think, 6 out of 7 times in terms of playing teams away and playing teams at home in the bottom half. They've seen 2+ cards or more. So the bets I've gone with for this one is, you know, both teams over 1 card and Cagliari to score at 5-6. But also both teams over 1 card, 2+ match goals, because I think they're going to be going at it. And a Cagliari first half card is 11-8, which was very surprising.
as well. So those are my two from Serie A. You've got, when Getafe are playing in La Liga, you've always got to have a look at the stats, because Getafe are just, they could start a fight on their own training pitch. You know, they're just, it's obscene how many fouls they give away. You know, they're by far the side that commits the most fouls on average per game. It's absolutely ridiculous. In fact, looking at the numbers here, so when playing away from home, they commit on average 20 fouls per game, 19.9 on average, which is the most in the league, which is just insane, absolutely insane. As a quick summary on the Valladolid Getafe game, which is tomorrow, one that I'm very surprised. It's 4-1. Getafe a first half card, and Getafe win and over four match cards is 4-1, which I thought was incredible, considering, you know, Getafe have obviously doing quite well away from home in terms of the form, and obviously Valladolid struggling at home as well. You know, I thought that was great odds, and then there's a few others as well. So both teams over one card, over four match cards, and Getafe just to score is 11-8, and I think that's pretty much nailed on. I do like the look of that. So those are my bets for midweek in Europe. Obviously, with cards, markets aren't always released, so I've not had a chance necessarily to look at all the ones for the weekend, next weekend, as it were. But it'll be probably a similar angle.
Good man, you're full of stats as always, aren't you?
What can I say? What can I say?
Love it. All right, Jonas, can you beat that, mate?
No, I can't.
Jeez, that's nearly as good as your quiz question you asked us last week, mate. Mate, I watched that over a couple of times. That was actually quite funny.
It was very good.
All right, fellas. Well, if you've got nothing, Jonas, then we might as well just go to our best bets of the weekend in the EPL. Jonas, mate, kick us off. Best EPL bet of game week 32, I believe.
Okay, so what I like the most would be Everton to win against Norwich, and I gotta go for a Southampton draw, no bet against Arsenal.
Alright, no, I'm not gonna blame you there, mate. George, what have you got?
So I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Newcastle to get two or more cards at home to Villa, and then I might combine that with a double chance of Southampton to beat Arsenal.
All right, beautiful, fellas. And then to wrap things up on our side, Marius, CBS pick of the week, went through last week, and this week he's going with Wolves to beat... Oh, who are they playing again?
They are playing Bournemouth at home.
Bournemouth, yes. So he's gone Wolves to beat Bournemouth -0.75 at 186.
Ooh.
I believe that's with Pinnacle. So there's Marius's CBS pick of the week, and he'll be on CBS hopefully on Friday, live on Sports HQ, the big time man. And for myself, I know everyone's crying out for some value picks from me, fellas. So, and you know what? By popular demand, I've increased my picks threefold this week. So ooh. I'm going back to the NRL again. So I'm going to go the Rabbitohs -5.5 at 3.1 to beat the Panthers. Tigers again at -9.5 at 2.12 to beat the Bulldogs. And UFC pick. I like the odds here on Mickey Gall to beat Mike Perry. And a quick side note, if you haven't seen, Mike Perry posted, he's a nutter. He posted a picture or a video of himself, sorry, with a massive gash over his eye. And that was a couple of days ago, so probably like 10, 12 days before the fight. So it's very strange that he's happy to show everyone that. So if he gets hit there, I'm sure that'll open up right above his eye, not an ideal spot. So there's a couple picks from me. Fellas, it's been fun once again. George, you want to mention where you are before we get to the... We've got a listener question two coming up, and the quiz answer, and, wait for it, the Gucci giveaway. But before we get to that, do you want to mention where they can find you, George?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on Twitter, and that's at CGeorgeGamble. As well as that, I do obviously put a lot of articles together for the guys at We Love Betting as well. A very good site. So that's where you can find me.
And Jonas, mate, anything you want to promote this week?
Gucci, Gucci, Gucci.
I must say, mate, there's a video coming out, Trademate Sports Story Part 2. I'm going to do a plug for you. I think, my personal belief, it is your greatest piece of work, mate. So if you want to preview, maybe log into the TradeMate account and have a look before it gets released on Thursday afternoon. But I think it's your greatest ever piece of work. It's the one where you challenge Unibet.
Ah,
Magnus Carlsen.
Bring him on. Beat him in everything but chess and sports.
love it. So you guys have to tune in for that. That's, in my opinion, the greatest video I think we've ever put out. But fellas, we've got a listener question. His name is Rabona, number two. He wants to ask, what is the most trustworthy online betting website, in your opinion? George, mate, do you want to kick us off?
In terms of kind of, you know, bookies or when, you know, or stat sites?
I'd say bookies, mate.
Yeah, I can say I'll go with that. It's a very difficult one. I mean, I've had kind of instances with a number of them. But I'd say for me, I like the way that, you know, with Bet365... I like the way, for example, where if they've settled something wrong, which means you've won and you've withdrawn the cash, they'll say, sorry, it was our mistake, we've reset. They'll always reset it to your balance back to zero rather than a minus as a gesture of goodwill for getting things wrong. I mean, I know other people out there will say, oh no, but I've had this problem with them. Of course, everyone has different problems with different bookies. But I've had a number of issues with other companies. So for me personally, I quite like Bet365, and I think they're quite transparent, or as transparent as a bookie can be, really. But yeah, so for me, I'd probably say Bet365.
Yeah, I also talked to a fellow called Matt from Inplay Man on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said that Bet365 are implementing something where they contact every customer that signs up. They must have a bit of coin nowadays, and asking them like why they're betting and, you know, if they've got a job and all these kind of things. So I don't know how much of that's true, but it's very interesting stuff. Jonas, mate, you might have a bit of insight on the sharp bookie side.
I think both 365 and Pinnacle is the number one. It's kind of hard to say because they're going against different demographics in a way and different users, but there's always going to be, like, if you ask the punters how many of them have actually read through the Bet365's T's and C's, I'd say probably around 0.001%. And there are lots of things to be said there that can be, like, everyone who is complaining, it has always breached the T's and C's in some kind of way, either by, you know, maybe they won too much over a 24-hour period, which Bet365 is covered by, or if they can't prove where the money is coming from, if they received a transfer from a friend, you know, if they've done something and they got caught, they kind of go out and whine and don't explain the full story. So I feel like 365 and Pinnacle would be the ones worth mentioning.
Who was the bookmaker where you placed, I think it was like 10 or 7 $10,000 bets or something like that, and they kept voiding them, and then, oh no, they were in the or whatever you call it, and then I eventually accepted them all. Which one was that?
Oh, SBO.
SBO. So maybe not too trustworthy.
Well, that was placed through Sport Market, and it happened sometimes in the past, and sometimes it got on and sometimes it didn't. And then you have SingBet, who's known for voiding bets, and they never let you know before the game has started. So if an odds drop too much, then they're going to just say, oh, it was an abnormal bet, or there was a fault on our side with the prices. And that's like, even if you bet them at 188 when Pinnacle is at 186 or 187. So there's been some shady stuff there also.
That was a ugly day to be in the Yelstad household. All right, fellas, we have made it all the way to the quiz answer for this week. So do we want to have a guess this week? We can start with Jonas because he did go second last week. So 23 goals in the Premier League from Wednesday to Sunday. How many of them were scored in the second half? 14, 16, 18, 20.
I'm just going to guess that you are not very balanced in what you're doing. So for that, those reasons, I'm going to pick the third highest number like you did last week and then go for 18.
All right. And George?
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to go for as well. But in terms, we've got to be different. We can't go for the same one.
And that's why I didn't pick 10 last week.
Yeah. exactly. So I don't...
I've got to change my orders. Sorry, fellas. I'm really not good. I'm not a good quiz master.
You better be better at karaoke than you are at Quizmaster.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that, mate.
So, 20 is too high in terms of if there's 23. There was definitely more than that. I'll go with 16, but I think it was 18. Yeah, 16 is my answer.
I mean, it was 18. I'm sorry, fellas. I'll do better next week. 2 weeks in and I've been read like a book. It's shocking. But, all right. Sorry about that, fellas. What we're going to do now is we're going to do the Gucci headband giveaway, the moment everyone has been waiting for. And what I'm going to try and do here is I've got my random name picker here. I've basically put everyone's emails in, and I'm going to try and show this on my screen. I'm hoping this works. I think that has worked. So as you can see here, guys, I'm about to pick we've got 50 names here. Unfortunately, we couldn't get all of you in there because SurveyMonkey doesn't allow you to see more than 50 responses unless you pay for it. So sorry about that. It was the first 50 that got in. But here we go. Are we ready? It is starting. Sorry if your email's coming up and it's giving away all your information. But the winner is a.badgewa7@gmail.com. So sorry for giving your email away, mate, but that's the price you pay when you want a Gucci headband. So we'll just I'll get rid of that headband. I mean, sorry, the email, and we'll go back to our beautiful faces right now. But anything you want to say, Jonas, to we'll call him Badgewa.
Well, welcome to the Gucci gang.
Oh, and what an honor it is. Unfortunately, Maxim, you've missed out on this one, and your 50 or so entries, George, you missed out too.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I guess Maxim will be lining up at Sport Direct tomorrow.
Oh, more than likely.
Yeah. All right, fellas, anything else to say before we head off?
No, just from obviously a personal point, just thanks again for having me on. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Always a good time, good laugh as well. And hope to see you again soon.
Yep. Are you going to say thank you, Jonas?
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on, George. Thank you, Alex, for being...
No worries at all.
Just being yourself.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah. It means a lot. All right. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast if you want us to be around next week, and subscribe to the podcast. That's also very important. And as always, if you're looking to implement some of the value betting strategies that we have talked about today, you can go and try a free week of TradeMate Sports. The man sitting on the right hand side of your screen, he's the brains behind that operation. So if you basically want a simulated version of Jonas's brain, then head over to TradeMate Sports and start a free trial. But fellas, once again, great week, great preview, and hopefully we'll be back next week, eh?
Hopefully so. Looking forward to a good week of sport.
Yeah.
Yes. And an Arsenal victory. All right, see you, fellas.